What is it that consumes our day? What do we think about from the moment we get up? Ourselves? Okay, that's true. You know, am I going to have a good day? What am I going to wear? I wonder if, what's her name's going to be there? I wonder if she'll notice me. I wonder if he'll notice me. If you play a sport, you think about the game. You think about what's coming up. I know Buena High School up here tonight's having homecoming. That's a big thing. You know, these things kind of consume our time. And when do we take time to think about the important parts of our lives? You know, or do we just live? Do we have a control of it? Or do we just kind of float along? And I want you to think for just a minute. What do you want your life to look like in 10 years? What are you guys, 15, 18, 16? 14? Okay. What do you want your life to look like? Just think about what you want to look like in 10 years from now. What do you want to be doing? What do you want to have? What do you want to be? He wants to be a physical therapist. Okay. Because I really think it's great, you know, God wants us to have a plan for our life. So if you picture what it's going to look like in 10 years, what are you doing today to reach that, to make it happen? Because it's one thing to have a dream, but we have to take specific actions in our lives to make it happen. And that's sometimes is the hard part. It's easy just to say, well, this is what I think I want. But do we really want it? Do we really want to change and live our lives in such a way that we can actually make that happen? And I want to tell you one more story. And this you can find this story in 1 Kings chapters 18 and 19. Because this is probably of all the people in the Bible, this is my favorite character, and his name was Elijah. And Elijah, I think, to me, had some cool experiences, some experiences I'd like to have myself. And you guys all know the story. You know, he was, Ahab hated him, mainly because his wife Jezebel hated Elijah. You know, and Jezebel was a pretty bad person, because have you ever known anybody named Jezebel? Have you known someone named Jezebel? She ruined the name forever, because no one ever named their kid Jezebel. Anyway, that's just a thought. And sure as I say that, you can Google it and find somebody that's named Jezebel. But anyways, you all know the story. He decides to have a contest, one of the few contests that's in the Bible. He has a contest with the prophets of Baal, and they meet on this mountaintop, and he convinces them that they should prepare the altar for the sacrifice, and they should call on their God to come down and bring fire and light the sacrifice on fire. Because the sacrifice isn't complete, as we all know. For those of you that have dad that have sacrificed the tri-tip in the backyard, it's not done till it's cooked. So they did it, and no fire came down. And Elijah did the same thing. In fact, he even poured water on his, and he prayed to God, and God sent fire down. And if you think about it, it had to be a pretty freaky experience. He brought fire down, and it took the sacrifice, it took the wood, it took the stones, it took the water, it took everything. Now, I would feel like if I had said a prayer that brought that kind of results, that I was connected. But Elijah ran off. He got scared. Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you. And so he ran off. And he goes up into the mountains. This is another one where he had to eat so he could travel. He went up on the Mount Horeb, and he's sitting in a cave, and God talks to him, says, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? So he tells Elijah, go out to the mouth of the cave and look down the cavern. And what went by, there was an earthquake, there was a mighty wind, and there was a fire that came down through the valley. And God wasn't in any of them, which seems kind of strange, doesn't it? I mean, when you think about God, what do you think? You think about something that's amazingly powerful, like the fire that came down and lift up all the sacrifice and everything. That's my God. But the fire went through, the earth shook, and the great wind, but God wasn't there. So when did God show up? After all those three things, it was the Revised Standard Version says there was sheer silence. Sheer silence. And as soon as the silence occurred, Elijah covered his face because he knew God was there. You know, and God is in the mighty experiences. God is in when things go fantastically. God is there, and he's part of that. When amazing things happen, he's part of that. If you've ever witnessed a huge Midwestern thunderstorm where the ground shakes and it sounds like the sky's ripping open as the thunder goes across, that's amazing. But God showed himself to Elijah in the silence. And it tells me that God wants to be a part of my thinking. He wants to be part of my planning. He wants to be part of the time when I spend and say, what do I want my life to look like in 10 years? And what am I going to do to get there? And God wants to be a part of that. And as much as the great tools as smartphones, I mean, look at this. You guys ever seen a computer that's this skinny? That's like, I had notebooks in school that were thicker than that. I remember Mrs. Lobotomitz had me do a report in English, and it was thicker than that. That's that thin. These things are amazing. And you guys live in a great time. You live in an amazing time. And I think it'll be a great life, but you have to spend some time with God and thinking about your life and thinking about how he's a part of it. He wants us to meditate on his words. We're going to sing some more songs, and then we'll Mrs. Fowler will come up and she'll tell you where you're staying, because I think you guys didn't find out where you're staying, did you? You're all sleeping on the floor here.